Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are diving into email marketing for e-commerce. This is one of our favorite traffic sources, so let's get started. Hi, Ian, how are you?
Hello, Mark. Excellent. Good to hear you.
Good. I was amazed that we hadn't covered email in the podcast yet, and we've touched on it little bits and bobs, and I think you did a recruitment and retention, and
we talked about offer architecture, haven't we?
But we haven't
specifically email.
Yeah, because you were he was saying that email was, I think you were asked by Chloe Thomas which was your favorite traffic source, and you said email. Because it's something that the company owns. It's a real asset. And I think if anything is bought when an e-commerce site is bought, you know, like as a sale, as an exit, the email list is really one of the main things that is a consideration. Obviously, the customer list and the prospect list. So,
well, it kind of is the customer list, really, isn't it? It's, it's really the asset of the business. But the reason why I said to Chloe that I loved email so much, and it was my favorite channels, because it's so much more profitable than the other channels. And it's the channel actually that touches all customers. And it does pre-purchase, it does during the purchase with abandonment campaigns, it does post-purchase, and it does the reactivation ones for lapsed campaigns. And it is the gift that really keeps on giving, because if you think about the main metrics that we've got, that we talk about, the main two is, it's how much does it cost us to recruit a customer, and how much is that customer worth to us over a lifetime? And really the key, it's email that really is the driver of the repeat purchase. But I would say to clients, look, how have these customers got on your house file or your email list? They've got there because it's been driven through Facebook or pay-per-click or natural SEO or a referral or an affiliate campaign. They don't just magically land on your...
No.
What's that noise?
I think it's a bird flying away.
It's a firework, like a cartwheel firework. they don't just magically appear on your email list. They've got to come from somewhere. But it's one of the big strategies, isn't it? If you can recruit customers profitably, and then you've got a mechanism to get them to come back and buy again, which is email, you've won the race. So email is definitely it's one of the killer things you've got to get right.
Yeah, and I think it's a real skill for a business, because you can if you get an email contact, traditionally everybody's just done email blasts to them. And I think that obviously is part of the strategy, but you can really take an email address to a customer. There's a huge gap between the people who are going to buy and the people who might buy. Mm. And those might buyers are really going to be converted by a pretty decent email skill on behalf of the e-commerce owner, because that is really where you can drive a lot more revenue by sending the right things at the right time and understanding what part of the sale they're in, and even sending diagnostic tools to them.
The key to it is you've got to change the way you think about them as an email. That a lot of times talk about email and you think, oh, it's just a big email file. No, each one of these is a real person. And it's what you would do if that customer came into your shop, if you had a shop on the high street. It's what you would say to them. And that's how you've got to think about email. It's a one-on-one experience with
because
that
everybody
coming in your shop.
On that list will be in a different... will have a different relationship with you compared to everybody else. So if you think about someone coming into the shop, say Bob comes into your shop, physical shop, and he is
You know, he's an existing customer. He's bought from you many, many times. You're going to know what he wants to buy. You're going to know what he likes, what he doesn't like.
Yeah.
And you're going to know that he is probably quite easy to sell to. So you would sell something to him. Whereas if you get someone coming in and you go, well, I've never seen this person before. They don't know anything. They're looking a bit nervous about, you know, buying. Maybe I'm selling home safes. And they need a bit of information. They need a bit of warming up.
Yeah.
Maybe
they need a bit more reassurance.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you've got to convince them that, you know, to trust you. And that might be, you know, it might be an email that's full of testimonials. So, but like, just to kind of get back to the practical step is, it's like everything that we're going to say on this podcast is simple. Like, you don't need any complicated email platform that does all sorts of clever stuff, because they all do it now. They're all brilliant. You know, MailChimp, Dot Digital, Ametria, you know,
ActiveCampaign.
They're almost identical. It's what you want to do with the UI, but it's like, forget what email can be, because I know, because we've worked with them all the ESPs we've worked with over the years, and they're all good. And, you know, it's knowing what to do with your emails, like how to set them up, what to send, what not to send, and they'll all do the same. That's why email is so great, because a lot of it can be automated. You know, when we talk about email, we're not talking about the batch and blast. You know, it's like one email for the same person. You know, those days are obviously gone. Now it's a unique experience on a one-on-one basis where everybody gets different emails depending on where they are on that journey. And that sounds really complicated, but it you can do this in MailChimp.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, that's kind of happened in the past 3 years. You know, you go back 3 years ago and there really wasn't that marketing automation everywhere. There was a few people like Marketo and people doing it. And then all of them kind of went, oh, that's interesting. Let's add that kind of workflow ability to the process. So they've all got it now. And that's where you're going. So, you know, we've got an e-commerce blueprint. I've just put that in front of you, Ian. And I think, if we just go through some of the different places where email's used and then just talk about best practice around those ones. Yeah. And the first one is kind of like pre-purchase opt-ins. And the first thing, this is kind of obviously people coming onto the site and giving you an email, or even coming onto Facebook and giving you email, or somewhere where you've got a pre-purchase opt-in. And typically this works really well in where you've got a product that there's a bit of information around it. So you're selling car polishing or car polish or car detailing products, then obviously, you know, how to use those car detailing products. Because if you think about the job to be done is to get a clean car. So it's not just about the product, it's about how you use the product. And therefore, you know, you can opt them in to
basically, though, you use email the same way that you would in thinking about, you know, the process that, you know, that we would go through in terms of our e-commerce framework. You know, so if you're selling a lifestyle product, you know, you would sell the lifestyle, you know,
and that
would be the series of welcome type emails, you know. But if you're selling a problem solving rational purchase like a car polish, then you're much more around the methodology, the methodical buyer. You know, you're working out the anxieties and you're addressing those things. So the email essentially falls into the three R's, doesn't it? It's a bit like the offer architecture we talked about. It's the recruitment, it's the retention, and it's reactivation. And email touches all three of those three R's. So your recruitment stuff is obviously things like your pre-purchase things. And that's things like welcome offers. And that's browser abandonment emails. And, you know, they're incredibly powerful. But you can't just expect people to sign up for your email. You know, they won't. You can't say, I'll sign up to our newsletter. They're not going to do it. That's like, I mean, we've said this many times. That's like getting someone who's lying on the sofa on their phone, browsing through your website at night, had a you know, a couple of gin and tonics. That's like saying to them, go and do 100 press-ups in the corner. Mm. They're just not going to sign up to your newsletter. There's no, you can't, you have to really think about a way of making that happen. You've got to add value to it. So that's the first thing.
But just coming back to that, I mean, do you not, I mean, you see every site doing, you go onto the site and it's like, get 10% off or something. Like,
yeah.
I think that that is overdone now. And I think you actually need to add more value than just that discount. So yeah, you need to be thinking about...
It's become boring.
It's just expected and people close it down. So you've got to like add some more value there. So if you are selling car detailing products, that needs to be the discount plus your famous guide on how to reduce the time to clean your car or something like that, or something that helps them get the job done. They kind of go, yes, I will get that. Because it's not just about, if you think about people coming onto the site who haven't yet decided they want to buy from you, coupon is completely worthless. They know they can probably come and get a coupon at some point.
Yeah.
So you've got to think.
What the reason why you want an email address from a pre-put, because you go, well, why don't we just get the sale? We want the sale. Well, because you don't get the sale. Because if you think about it, you know, if you can, an average site, e-commerce site who's recruiting would convert up to 2%. So if you're recruiting, we say, right, 2% conversion rate is about where you'd be. And if you've got a nice customer house file, you'll get the 5, 6, 7% conversion rate. Mm. So if you think about it, if you're recruiting, you're 98% of people that come on your site don't buy anything.
Mm.
So, and the next best thing, if you can't get them to buy something, is get the email address. So we call it the buying window. And depending on what you're selling, if it's a problem-solving rational purchase, like a car battery, the buying window is a day. Whereas if you're selling something for your home, that's a more expensive purchase, like a sofa or a kitchen table, it might be a month or two. And that's what we call the buying window. Mm. So the best thing to get to open that buying window and keep that communication going is email.
Yeah.
You know, well, so that's why we want you to get the email address. You don't just go and sell on the first, you're not going to get the sale on the first visit. You will get the email address. It's amazing.
So basically, the pre-purchase sequence, we always say that if the buying window is a long buying window, so it's like a kitchen table, then you'll kind of have a much more drawn out welcome series that puts those points in place. Whereas if it's something like a car part, or someone needs that today, then you're not really going to be able to kind of have much of a pre-purchase sequence,
because you've got to go straight to the pain points, which is
availability, price.
You've got to go price match promise, and speed. You will not find it cheaper. Here's an offer, you know, and it's going to end. Like, if you don't get today, you're going to miss out. A, we haven't got the stock, and B, there's an offer that's going to go. So you just throw everything because you know you've only got, we actually say 4 hours.
You've only got that tiny window. In that stage might be a discount code plus a free gift if you give us the email address and you get the coupon to order with a free gift on the purchase or something. So then that becomes your pre-purchase sequence, and you will still get a lot of people who won't buy signing up for email who you can then reactivate at some point, because you know, maybe they're looking for a brake pad and they buy from someone else, but then they're on the email list and then they might react to your car mat offer or something like that. So that's kind of pre-purchase sequence. But I just wanted to say, in terms of if you've got a long buying window, like a garden table or a kitchen table, then you've got to take them from point A to point B. So if point A is they're coming on the site, they know nothing about you, and point B is they have bought the table, you need to think about what process you need to take people through in order to make them buy the table. So what do they need to understand about the table that is so unique about your table that is going to make them buy it? So that you might need to bring them up in terms of lifestyle, in terms of authority, in terms of like other people that's buying it, to kind of social proof. You know, you need to kind of take those through those steps. And you probably want to have one email that's emotional, one that is rational, and one that's kind of a combination of the two. So you're trying different techniques, and also in your welcome series, you're trying different mediums. So one of them might be an email, a video. One of them might be a text coming out, you know, like explain the text. And then another one might be literally just a kind of a short call to response to ask for questions. So you're trying not basically bashing them over the head with the same email.
You're trying to tell the story. You're trying to, you know,
but in different ways.
Story.
In different ways. So you hit the different people. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, you can, but the most important thing, you've got to think about how I can get people on my email address list, you know, in the first place. You've got to think about all the things you can do to get them there. And you need to be more and more creative with it. And I think, you know, you also need to think, obviously, when you've got the email address, you can not only launch the welcome Siri campaign, but you can also launch the browser abandonment email. You know, and that we would recommend doing, you know, within 20 minutes of them abandoning, you know, the first one, and then you have a series of follow-up ones. And the clever tools now, you can do it where it knows if that customer's new. You know, so we're not going to put the email to get the, if it's an existing customer, we don't need their email address. So, you know, the system should be intelligent enough to know that. And obviously, if it's a new customer, you know, who hasn't yet bought, then we obviously want this. Well, we want to get the email, because if they've already bought, we've got their email address.
Yeah.
So we can deliver an abandonment campaign already.
So basically, sometimes people miss that, and it's like, well, if you the better your kind of bribe to get that email address, the more people up on their land when they're landing on the site, the more likely you're going to have the email to be able to abandon basket. And now, any emails, abandon basket emails are usually one of the most highest converting. So the more emails you can get into that part of your funnel, the better.
Yeah.
So
you're absolutely right, because I've missed a point there. And when we say basket abandonment email, we actually mean basket abandonment. We don't mean checkout abandonment, because as we know, let's think about the stats, you know, 10% add to basket, 55% of people go from basket to checkout, and then 85% of people go from checkout to order. So if you're waiting to send your checkout abandonment email from only people that get to the checkout and put their email address in, you're missing out on a huge amount of people that almost bought. So we're saying that actually, if you take that checkout abandonment email, which most people say basket abandonment email, and we say, okay, if you can bring that to all the way back to the basket or even category or even product once, because if you've got the email address, you can trigger, and we're not going to get into GDPR, but I will say it, but you know, there's ways that you're able to do this that are okay with GDPR.
You just have to ask them for the email opt-in when they get the bribe. The bribe has to be good enough to get them to opt in to the marketing communications.
You basically just have to say, this is signing up to our newsletter. That's what
it's an incentive. So, You're allowed to have an incentive to sign up. You can't just say, sign up to a newsletter. There's no benefit to you at all.
Listen, there'll be lots of people out there who will disagree with that. So let's not get into GDPR territory.
But it's ridiculous to think you can't say that your email, your newsletter list or your email list is good and there's benefits for being on it. You know, that's ridiculous. Because obviously...
The whole of GDPR is a bit odd. But anyway, the most important point that I was trying to make is that if you can get the email address earlier on in the journey, you can then trigger these abandonment emails much earlier on. So rather than it being a checkout, because obviously only, you know, if your site's converting at 4.5%, you know, and you're only doing it from your checkout, you're losing, you know, a huge amount of people. You're only touching, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, 5% of the potential people that you could have done. I mean, you need to bring it much further back. Think about it. You've got, you know, if you can do it on all of the 10% of people that added something to the basket, I mean, it's incredible amount of more. You double the amount of emails. So that's really key. And then obviously, you know, you can then use that to push the welcome offer and obviously push the conversion, you know, whatever the offer might be too.
So, like another way to get more, people into your cart abandonment sequence or your product abandonment emails is to make sure that when you're sending an email from your email list, is that software knows what email address is on the site when it lands on the site, because that adds a huge amount of people to be able to go after as well. So let's say you've got 10,000 people on your email list, and you know 2,000 of them click through onto your site, and 2,000 of those people go onto the product, and then you can then follow up with those people because you know what the email address was.
Yeah,
which is yeah, exactly. Which gives you a lot more. So let's actually talk about the actual cart abandonment sequence. Because I've got things in the course that I teach people to do specifically, but what do you see, Ian, as working? What would you kind of default? What's the basic thing you put people in place?
Best practice is to do it within the hour. I mean, it depends on how aggressive. I mean, some clients do it earlier, 20 minutes. You know, because if they haven't bought within 20 minutes, I think they're basically, you know, something's happened. So, you know, you want to hit them at the right time. So I would certainly do it within the hour. And the first thing, and then, you know, you can either say, well, the first email is just a, hey, you know, what happened? You know, anything, you know, do it as a customer service type email rather than potentially giving them an offer. And then, you know, if they don't buy at that point, then you then trigger a second one and then a third one. And then off it goes, you know, onto a journey. And, you know, if your unsubscribe rate is naturally low, you know, that's fine. I mean, I was on stage once and somebody asked me, you know, how many emails they should send, you know, in a week or a month. And I said, well, as many as you can until your unsubscribe rate goes above 0.5%, you know, because at that point, you know, you're then, because you're potentially losing valuable people. But if you've also got a good incentive to get emails from your site, you're obviously going to recruit a hell of a lot more email addresses than you would lose. And I would say that the best stat, if you're doing this, you'd be doing really well. But 8% of all traffic should sign up to your email offer. And that will be really good. So in terms of if you had abandonment, I mean, browser abandonment's a waste of time. Forget browser abandonments. It's the banners that work, that go, you know, either right at the top of every page, or it's actually a whole landing page when you get to the site. But the browser abandonment pop-ups are a waste of time. Who the hell wants that? You know, you just get rid of it. You're not interested. So, I mean, okay, leave it on, but it's not as powerful.
Yeah, it does sometimes work. It depends, you know, because if people are looking around and they think they're going to go and look at someone else, and they, okay, I will grab the coupon, kind of stuff. It can work. You just test it for yourself.
It doesn't hurt, but the banners at the top are, you know, five times more powerful than a browser. That's why I'm saying if you've done browser abandonment email capture and you think, you know, you want to get it turbocharged, you use banners instead.
You're talking about banners that offer a coupon for email address. So cart abandonment sequence, how many emails by default would you send?
I would do one first. You know, don't wait to get your three ready. Do one.
Yeah.
I'd say fit once, you know, to keep it generic, 50 minutes after purchase, after abandonment. And I would do, if you've got the ability to do them all, so you can do proper browser abandonment ones, then I would do, you'd have a priority. So if they abandoned on the basket, that would be the priority. But if they abandoned on the product page, that would be priority. They abandoned on the category.
You abandoned the product, you abandoned the category. You're like, God. Turn it off.
Yes, you want to get the most convert. So basket converts better than product. Product converts better than category. That's the rule of it.
And then you're saying
you have your welcome sequence as well, which you can do separately. Yeah.
And I also think that if you should be monitoring your shopping cart and watching for huge purchases that abandon, and then, you know, because you will get some. I mean, if your average order value is like even £100, sometimes you get abandoned baskets for like £500, £600.
Yeah.
And it's worth you actually seeing if you've got the details of that person and reaching out to them and seeing what's happened and what, you know, if you can help.
Just like you would in a shop. If you see someone who'd been in there and adding loads of things to their basket, you're like, whoa, wow, let's go and help them.
Yeah,
you know, I think the interesting thing is when we're looking at conversion rates on an e-commerce site, the customers that almost bought but didn't buy are identical to the ones that did buy. Like, they just nearly bought, but something stopped them, you know, and that they're the ones that we need to think about more than anything. You know, if your site's converting at 2%, you know, it's the next 2% that are the ones, not the ones that, you know, not the people that just came to site and bounced off. You know, we really want to think about how we can just get, because they did the same things. They're the same type of people as the people that nearly bought that didn't, but they just stopped. Something stopped them. You know, just going over the edge. We just need to push it. And that's, we really need to think about those. And that's what we use email for, because the customers that were just close but didn't quite make it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a great way of actually finding out why they're not buying by asking them and putting it, you know, somewhere in your cart abandonment, because I like to have a very responsive email that opens a conversation, because especially if you're new in recruitment and you're getting, you know, you're trying to understand what's happening, those conversations will be very, very key to understanding why people didn't buy. So the more you can kind of talk to those people rather than just sending automated emails to them, it's really going to help you actually understand what you needed to do. And then once you go, well, I didn't think delivery was going to be quick enough, or I wasn't sure about this color option, or I wasn't sure whether this would fit me. And then you go, okay, we need a better size guide, or we need to kind of look at our delivery.
You know, there's a good point actually that you just raised there about, you know, rather than the emails being automated and you think it's kind of a bit generic and a bit faceless and it sort of lacks personality. And I think that's a really interesting point that over the years we've seen often the best emails are the ones that don't look like the big fancy HTML glitzy email, that are faceless. The ones that actually work really well are the ones that are more personal, that look that more like a personal email. You know, if you have a message from the founder of your site, you know, and it's like, hi, I'm James, I'm the CEO of XYZ. I love everyone here, we're very proud, you know, great customer. You know, those type of emails which are more sincere and more genuine are much nicer and also easier to read, and they're always, you know, easy to get the core messaging across.
Yeah,
you know, it's a mixture of nice fancy ones, but also those simple ones that almost look like an Outlook email, you know, with an email signature on. You know, it's just, and they're so much easier to put together as well.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes the big glitzy HTML ones, they just get lost.
Well, the people are just seeing them from everybody, it's a pattern interrupt, isn't it? Where you kind of think, oh, this is someone's actually emailed me about this, and they actually want to have a question. And I did have a question. I will respond back. So that's the cart sequence, and then obviously someone then buys, and then you've got the post-purchase sequence about what you're doing, and obviously people will go into. You know, there is always going to be a batch and blast set element to your email marketing, because sometimes, you know, like Black Friday offers and things like that, and, you know, monthly maybe your best offers and stuff, there is going to be room for that all the time. But then but what about post-purchase in terms of
I think the most famous story that we've told many times about the post-purchase email is that we've tested it from the from when they've from the time that they placed the order, and we started off, it was 3 weeks after that order was placed, and then we tested the conversion rate, and we kept moving it closer to the purchase date, and the conversion rate kept going up. So we moved it from 2 weeks to 1 week, and the conversion rate kept going up, and then, you know, 7, 6 days, 5 days, and all, and then eventually we did it on the same day that the person made the order, and the conversion rate was the highest. And that was really interesting. So, you know, don't wait until, you know, it's too late to do the post-purchase. And the reason it tends to work well, is that the customers have got cognitive dissonance, which means that they're looking for things to reassure themselves that they made the right decision. And so they're excited and they go, oh, great. You know, they trust you, and, you know, they want to continue that journey. And the second reason is that they're often in the buying mode to buy your product. So something in their life has triggered them to buy, you know, something for their house. They might be doing up their lounge and they might have bought a table lamp. And so what that tells you is that that customer at this moment in time is doing up their house. And so they're very likely to want other things. And there'll be lots of things that they looked at that didn't buy. And so you give them an offer and it might be, hey, we're welcome to XYZ, you know, brand. We love you. As a thank you, you know, we're going to give you £20 of loyalty off your next purchase. And we're going to put you into this VIP, you know, exclusive membership area. You make them feel really good. And you know, of course, you know, you've got that period of time. And, you know, so you might have, if it is a homeware site, and we said this before, but if it's a homeware site, you might have a month or two to really go after that person and treat them really well, because that's when you start to get repeat purchase. Whereas in 6 months' time, there'll be some other challenge in life, tarmac in the drive, school fees to pay, whatever it might be. And they're not bothered about doing up the house anymore. They've moved on. So is that, but that they're super responsive and super
They are
hot.
Super responsive and hot. And I think there's another thing as well, which I'd like to talk about, which was the, you know, when we dived into a lot of lifetime customer value for a lot of customers, we came to the, we started uncovering that certain people who bought more had a certain type of experience when they bought the first their first time. And so shouldn't just be sending upsells and things like that to your thing, but there's also content. So again, if you think about, if you're at a restaurant, a good restaurant, they always, you get the food delivered and they always come over to the table. And is anything okay? Is anything wrong with your order? Is everything happy? And so, you know, we don't do that with e-commerce. We don't check usually. We send them a review thing to say, oh, can you send us reviews and blah, 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 blah. But that's only for our benefit. They know it's for our benefit. But, you know, actually engaging them in conversation with a kind of like, you know, just checking everything's okay with your order, question mark, email, very simple email.
Yeah, very wondering good how way. You're getting on with this. It's so true. It's so true, isn't it? All we do is send them a bloody review email saying, can you review our products? And we send them a load of emails saying, can you buy some more stuff? Here's a coupon. It's an awful experience, isn't it? If you think about it.
It's like if you're going to a restaurant and you've just got your main course and you go and whilst you're eating the main course, go, here, can I give you a dessert menu? It's like, no, piss off. I don't want to.
Chips
are cold. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, and also if you have a product, a certain product where you know that people need to have a certain experience with it, maybe it's a complicated product, maybe it's a safe, or maybe it's something that they need to be educated on them. You know, maybe your post-purchase sequence needs to help them actually get the most out of that product, because until they've got the most out of the product, they're never going to be buying anything again. Maybe it's a shed. Maybe they need to help setting it up, or, you know, maybe it's clothing and that clothing needs to be, you know, looked after in a certain way, or to get the, you know, maybe it's got to be worn in a certain way with a certain types of products or something like that. See, you're kind of sending.
The interesting thing is, you know, what everybody looks at, I think, with email is, right, what was the open rate? What was the click through? What was the conversion rate? What was the average order value of that? And obviously that's important stuff. They're important metrics. But that's why if you just look at that in an individual basis, then you miss those wonderful little emails like that that actually could really promote loyalty and a you know, word of mouth and a better lifetime customer value. So you've really got to look at your overall segmentation of what groups you've got. You know, how is your 0 to 6 month multi-buyers looking like? You know, what's their spend over time, and is that segment growing or is that declining? You know, it's like it's an overall message, isn't it? You know, it's,
and I think you always come back to the job to be done. So if you've done the job to be done work and you know why someone's buying your products, you're not buying it for, you know, to get a table. They're buying it because they want to have friends around and have a really happy time, and someone say, wow, that's an amazing table, that's a great, and have a great experience. So once you know what the job to be done is, you need to make sure that that job is complete once you've sold the product, because if you always go after the job, the customer will believe that you can do another job for them. And if you haven't completed the first job for them, they are going to be like, well, I did buy that, but it didn't quite do what I thought it was going to do. So I'm a bit wary about buying the next thing. So always come back to the job. And people bang on about being customer centric and doing everything like that, but they're kind of meaningless words. it comes down to what is the customer trying to get done? And if you can kind of get that done for them and help them complete it, they are so much more likely to buy from you again, because they found somebody that they had a problem with, they had a job to do in their life, and it was completed and it was fixed. And this, so many of the things we buy leave those jobs unfinished. And that's a frustration.
Yeah, and very little e-commerce sites do this well. So you, if you do it, you know, just a tiny little bit, you're standing out so much.
And it's because it's, especially really, it's because it's, once they've got the money, people know, well, they don't care about me now. It's like anything you can do to prove that it's not just about the money, like giving a mystery, a gift they didn't think they were going to get in the delivery, and getting an email that's going to help them, or a personal email checking that they're okay.
Yeah, but I think that's right. Those personal emails from, you know, a real person asking them, how are they getting on with the products? Do you need any help?
Yeah.
You know, is you know, just something that, I mean, how easy is that to automate? I mean, it doesn't need any creative HTML. It's just a simple, nice email. You know, with a signature from the founder, said, "I designed this product. I built this.
Yeah.
You know, I saw. I designed. You know, I put it together. You know, I'm really proud of it. Yeah. You know, those sort of things are really nice.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. Well, so
I think we'll just sum up, because we're going for about 30 something minutes.
Gosh.
Yeah. Bang it on again.
Yeah. Well, I would say, in summary, is that email is the most wonderful invention, and because it's the cornerstone of all your marketing, so everything else feeds off it. So this is where you can define what your Facebook strategy should be, you know, what your warming up campaign is going to be, you know, what your, you know, what your welcome campaign is going to look like. You know, it's the cornerstone. It dictates the pre, the post, the reactivation campaigns, the lapse campaign. You know, everything is touched by it. So that's why I think it's great. You've got to get that strategy right, and then you can then start to look at the other channels.
Really. Yeah. Great. I hope everybody starts having good times with their emails. If you haven't got our book, Naughty You, it's at www.ecommercebook.co.uk. Go and grab a copy of our book, and that'll get you into our community. I think it's only £5.50. So go and grab it. And you'll see some of our reactivation emails and email sequences from that as well. So you'll see how it's done. okay. Anyway, thank you very much, Ian, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Great stuff. Cheers. Bye.